All right, here we go. Here we go. Don't leave your partner. Keep your partners. Keep your partners. Keep your partner. Can't get rid of me. No. Here we go. If you've decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, what is it that we have? Power. This process of recovery and being a recovered addict means the acquisition of power. In acquiring power, I get direct infusion from a power greater than myself. I become willing to believe in that power based on my step one experience that I'm powerless. When you look at your life, if you need evidence that you're on a journey to get power, look at all the things you've done through your drinking and using history to get your life back on the right track. Then ask yourself a question: how well did that work for me? Even if you got power, were you able to keep it? Even if you got some manageability in your life, were you able to keep that manageability of your life? My answer is no. So for me, this journey I've been on since 1987 has been a journey of the acquiring power. And I get it, but sooner or later I surface again. What it lets me know is that there's parts of me that I can't fix. There's parts of me that I'm still powerless in, that I need a power greater than myself to fix me and straighten me out. And guess what? It works. If it didn't work, I wouldn't still be here 36 years later. So, our description of the alcoholic or the addict, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that I am alcoholic or I am addict and cannot manage my own life. B, not probably, but no human power can relieve me of my alcoholism or my drug addiction. And C, original manuscript, God can and will, if sought. Not could and would, can and would, can and will. They softened it up for the poopies. So the poopies wouldn't run out the door with the can and will in building the fellowship of AA. But original manuscript says God can and God will. I have proven evidence of that in my life. Why? Because the first requirement is that I be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. That any life, not only mine, but any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. That's the first requirement of step three. So if you were working with me one-on-one, which I am open to sponsor. At this juncture in the recovery process working with me, I would send you out to ask three people, how do you see me running my life on self-will? And it wouldn't be a conversation. It would be for you to listen to them. Why? Because I don't take me talking to me very creditable. I do it better now than I ever did, but I still need to be thoroughly convinced. What you're doing, Mike, ain't what's happening. Powerful exercise. So for the sake of time, we're not going to do that. But the clincher in this is for me to see that me running my life on self-will, not using my will properly, will run me into brick walls repeatedly for the rest of my life unless I learn how to use it properly. Now, you got to understand that step two gives us an inclination of what's going on with us. And the inclination is that we have power. We just don't know what to do with it. We have will. We just don't know what to do with it. This process of recovering and becoming recovered is about a journey in the acquisition of power and how to use my will effectively to what? To help others. That's it. To help others. That's what I'm doing here this weekend. And the byproduct of that is that God shows up in my life. And an unbelievable life unfolds in front of me. I could not have put this together with 3, 4, 5 crystal balls when I first got to you guys. Couldn't have thought this out at all. Unimaginable. We have a thing here that's unbelievable for those that truly tap in. Because it becomes a journey of not knowing where I'm going, but believing that wherever I'm going, I'm safe and protected and God will take care of me. And he's got a better plan for my life than I could ever have. Having faith in that and believing in that. So this is a requirement. To learn how to use my will properly. And that comes in all shapes, forms, and fashions. They kind of expound on that if you move through the next pages of the big book before you hit step three. The prayer talks about the actor. Talks about wanting to be the one that's highlighted. The one that wants to run the show, wants to be the main character, has got all the answers, all the ideas. How good of a job do you do? Tells me that I'm egocentric, meaning my ego has taken over. Ego, edging God out. Very simple stuff. I keep it very simple, man. Very simple. I don't complicate it with a bunch of stuff. All the years I've been doing this, I work by the big book. And I found it to be the most awesome process that I've ever experienced in my life. The next process to this process is the process of shooting dope. Heron was magical. It was magical. It transformed my life, man. It recreated me. It fine-tuned me into an individual that I needed to be to live out here. This process fine-tunes me and recreates me to live in here. This is where I really live, in here. This is where the me that don't talk to people talks to me. And what has to happen is that I have to learn how to talk to and hang out with God. If you a real one. Now, if you're not, you can tiptoe through the tulips, smell the roses along the side of the road, be a social butterfly in the rooms of DAA or CA or AA, if you're not a real one. But it would behoove you to find out if you're a real one. A lot of people come to see us, man, they just become polyparrots, and they mimic what we do. They never get a full understanding of what's happening here and the evolution that can take place in their individual life to recreate them into an instrument and a vessel that God uses. So this step we're at, step three, is about admitting. Based on what I've seen in step one and step two, admitting to myself that there's a decision that I need to make. And it's a decision that a lot of us, until we get here as a result of this book and this process, we never make in our lives. And if we have made it before, it's not on a level that touches us deep down within where we really live. They continue to move into the selfishness, self-centered piece, which is the root of my problem. I don't know if you've looked at yourself lately, but you need to ask yourself a question. Are you all that in a bag of chips? Do you need God to live and breathe and be on a daily basis? Do you need to acquire power, and for some of us, more power, because an area of my life has surfaced that I see clearly. I have no power to fix it. Do I see that I'm not as useful to God, to the world, and to society as I could be? Do I need to shed some of my domestication, meaning the ways of the world that I've taken on to live my life, where at one time they were successful in helping me live life, but they don't work no more. But I keep trying. Do I need a recreation? Do I need to be taught by a power greater than myself that works in a number of ways, how to use my will properly? And for me, the answer has been yes. It's still yes. And in an umpteenth piece of work again. And it's because I need to be recreated at another level. And I believe this is a lifelong process, that I'll be going through these 12 steps, all 12 of them, at some time in my life for the rest of my life. I'll never have the option to put it down. So, over here on page 62 in the big book, it says, This is the how and why of it. First of all, we had to quit playing God. It didn't work. Next, we decided that hereafter in this drama of life, God was going to be our director. He is the principal. We are his agents. He is the father. And we are his children. Most good ideas are simple. And this concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant ark through which we pass to freedom. So why are we here? Why are we here? We're here to be of help to someone else. And we're here for the acquisition of power to live and breathe and be on a daily basis. And with each breath that I take, in that breath is the willingness that my will be used properly to help someone. Not me. But as a result of helping someone else, my life automatically fits into the realm of everything that I need, I'm given. And I stop worrying about anything because I know I'll be provided for. So, we're going to do a meditation again. I want you to get with your partner and sit across from them. And you're going to sit across from them because, hold on, you're going to sit across from them because eventually you're going to hold hands. Yeah, when we get ready, 5 minutes, but I'll let you know. I'll let you know that. So, you became aware as a result of your communication with each other, your partner, sharing you with them, of how you use your self-will and how you've used your self-will to run your life. And the things that you've used it in to supposedly get a handle on life and living. And it hasn't worked. Basically, rooted in your selfishness and self-centeredness. You're being driven by that will and driven by fear. Arriving at step 3, it's time to make a decision to let it go, to give it up. That's what you're going to do to conclude this workshop. So, The Way of Rest by Jeff Foster . Sing, world, sing. Break me open, life. Shatter my remaining defenses against you. You place magnificence at the heart of my despair. You vow volcanic strength into my vulnerability. Even my doubt vibrated with courage. Leave the familiar with no hope of return. Of course, I am not afraid. I was never afraid. I once walked in a familiar path of self-destruction. I now walk in a path of grace and destruction, of weeping at birdsong and telling the truth. I will never turn back. We're going to do 5 minutes of meditation. After that 5 minutes of meditation, you're going to continue holding hands, and we're going to say the third step as a group, together. The meditation that I was going to do originally is a meditation that I've done. And the meditation was, and don't go off, but the meditation was for you to lie on top of your partner. No hanky-panky, no funny stuff, but for the energy of your defects and the energy of your self-will to dissipate. And for both of you to feel the journey of release. But I decided not to do that. Because of what's happening right now. But I'd like to tell you, because I've done it, it's a very powerful meditation. It's very powerful. But you're just going to hold hands. And you're going to feel the energy of release of that self-will that's been driving you. Of that improper use of the will by the way you've lived your life up until this very moment. You're going to talk to God as you sit in this 5 minute meditation. You're going to reflect on what happened for you in your step one review with your partner, and what happened with you when you looked at your God concept that you brought here, and then the God concept that hopefully you have now. And you become willing, if you don't believe, willing to believe that this God that's a part of your life now can do anything that's needed in your life. But first and foremost, take your will, and in the areas that it needs to be reshaped, reshape it for me. And I want you to pray that as you sit in this meditation. So, 5 minutes, grab your partner's hand, sit upright in your chair, back straight against your chair, feet flat on the ground. In silence. And I want you to really think about what's happened here this morning. Because if you did what was asked of you, you did some work. And it shouldn't be anything that's comical or funny. Hopefully you drew an experience from it that adds to the building that you've been building since you've been in recovery. On another level, very specific level, the level of proper use of the will that God's given you to be of service to others and to be of service to Him. So as we sit for 5 minutes in silence, eyes shut, grasping the hands of your fellows, pray. Ask God to recreate your will, that it will be aligned with His will for you. 5 minutes. In your mind's eye, visualize a beautiful golden flame. Sit in the center and the flame of that light. The flame is made of sparkling light filled with warmth and love. A spiritual fire. Feel its warmth and its love. This light, this flame is connected to your heart. Envision that you are like a rose that is unfolding and blooming. Each petal, a beautiful aspect of yourself. The fragrance is your spiritual essence, a blessing to others. The center of the rose is your own beautiful face filled with love. Position your mind there, the center of a rose, filled with your own beautiful face, filled with love. Now, a wondrous light is flowing to you from above, pouring into the top of your head. It flows into every cell of your body, filled with this white light from above. This light balances, refreshes, heals, and loves you. See the white and golden lights. That are blended together into one. As the light, the loving light of God. Listen within the voice of divinity saying that you are a precious child of God. You are part of the God force, just as the God force is a part of you. Remain in this peaceful place, observe, listen to whatever feeling comes to you. Feel the love of God within. You will be filled with peace and love. Take these feelings with you wherever you go. Say to yourself, I am of the light. I am surrounded by the light. I give my self-will up to the light. Experience the peace and love of this spiritual process. made a decision to turn my life and my will over to the care of God. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. We will see that our new attitude towards liquor or drugs or life has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. We are not cured of alcoholism or drug addiction. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with me constantly. I can exercise my willpower along this line all I wish. It is the proper use of the will. Third step prayer. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thy will. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power and of thy love and of thy way of life. May I do thy will always. I want to say God bless each and every one of you. We got a couple of minutes. Does anybody have a comment about this morning? In the back.
Hey, could you repeat the author of the poem and the name of the poem for the last one?
Can I repeat what?
The name of the poem and the author of the poem for the last
one you read. Jeff Foster. The Way of Rest is the name of the book. The author is Jeff Foster.
Thank you.
Comments? Anybody? Thoughts? Anybody before we clear out?
I have a thought. Hey, I'm Molly, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Molly.
Something, it was actually something you said last night, but and I've read the book a number of times, is going to any length. And I'd always picture that being like walking through snow to get my alcohol or my drugs, and I never did any of that. So I kind of felt a little disconnected from going to any length to get my alcohol or drug of choice. But I realized that going any lengths for me just looked different, that I was willing to deceive everybody close to me, ruin every relationship I had, compromise my integrity. So anyway, it was, I don't know what it is or how you said it yesterday, but it was a new way of looking at it. It just made me feel more connected to what any lengths looked like when I was out there running around.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Comments? Y'all got something to say. Y'all know things.
Thank you.
Thank you.
exercise and starting to sleeping last night and exercising today kind of gave me some relief in the sense that God is everything, so I'm not in charge of, I'm not the one that can go back and change things for my children and heal them. God is doing that. And it kind of gives me some relief because I'm always messed up, like, what things can I do in my life today that will sneak down or cascade over into their lives and their children? Like, everything I do, yes, but I'm not a close
thank you.
Comments? Feelings? Yeah.
Over the last few weeks, I've been talking to several friends about something that you touched on a few times during this, about being a real one. And I don't know, I think I'm a real one, but regardless, like, from here forward, I want to be a real one. And I appreciate you putting that language to it. That's been a topic of conversation for me and several other people over the last few weeks. And, yeah, being here today, I want to be a real one. I guess.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what makes you a real one?
Action?
No.
No.
Anybody know what makes you a real one?
Surrender.
If when you honestly want to, find you cannot quit entirely, or when using, you have little control over your mountain take, you're probably a real one.
Well, talk to
not me. Having power.
That was an
not you, Jack. Not you. Okay. What makes you a real one? Very simple. That's why it would behoove you that if you do no more than this when you get to us, that you do it. What makes you a real one?
From the Gully and Mike.
What makes you a real alcoholic or a real addict? I got him, my Lord.
Lack of power.
What makes you a real one?
God. Say God. I have my higher power.
What makes you a real one?
The obsession of the mind and the physical
What makes you a real one?
If once you start, you can't stop, and once you stop, you don't know when you're going to start again.
What makes you a real one?
Isn't that
God?
Isn't that
God?
If I quit helping others, my life is going to be a disaster.
What makes you a real one?
I only have two problems when I'm drinking and when I'm not drinking.
Ain't no nothing over here from the gallery over here.
When I decide that I am.
Huh?
When I decide that I am. When life's probably
you
in place, I know
who you are. And you base that decision on what? What makes you a real one?
Physically and mentally different.
What makes you a real one? You're dancing all around it.
Say louder.
We still got a couple minutes. Yeah, I'm going to see if somebody nails it. Real simple. What makes you a real one?
Can't do it
alone. My experience.
The degree to which I've lost
experience
power.
With what?
You have to allow this the same way you're in here.
What makes you a real one? I have the spiritual malady. I have the obsession of the mind. And I have the physical allergy. That's the criteria to be a real alcoholic or a real addict. The root of my problem is what we worked with earlier today in step one. Page 18, first paragraph. Page 52, middle paragraph. Page 151, the hideous four horsemen. That stuff, it don't matter how much time you've got, how long you've been around, how much work you've done. Sooner or later, something in those areas will pop its head and disrupt you internally, which affects your spirit. That's why I'm still here 36 years later. Because I still can't manage personal relationships at certain times. Can't control my emotions at certain times. Do a lot better, but still prey to misery, prey to depression. All that stuff crops up at certain times. The book says you will have no mental, at certain times, you will have no mental defense. Well, you like that, you know.
No, really, I don't like
it. Right. Yeah.
He said it's spiritual malady, obsession of the mind. What was the third thing?
And the allergy. The physical allergy. Now,
yes.
There's two schools in recovery. There's a school that believes it's a twofold disease. And there's a school that believes it's a threefold disease. I'm from the school of a threefold disease. I have the spiritual malady. I don't like the word malady, even though they use it in the book. Malady implies sickness. Spiritual implies God. God don't get sick. I prefer separation, spiritually separated from God. I make a conscious decision, made it somewhere around the age of 8, 9, 10. So I have spiritual separation. I have an obsession of the mind, meaning I'll get distance between me and Heron. I did it for 20-something years. Detoxes, jails, maintenance programs, drug substitutions, all kind of stuff to get me away from what I love the effect produced by, which is heroin. Didn't talk about it, but there is difference between an alcoholic and an addict. And out of nowhere, the obsession of the mind, a thought will come and say, Mike, you can do it again. You can have one. We're not going to shoot no dough. We're just going to smoke a little reefer and drink a little alcohol. Mm. You're going to hang out with your brothers on Friday night, play whist, sit down at the table, sniff a little cocaine, smoke reefer, and drink alcohol. You'll be fine. You won't shoot no dope. I might pull that off for one or two Friday nights. This is my story. Sooner than later, I'm up from the table. See you guys later. I gotta go. Where you going? Oh, I gotta make a run. I gotta see a girl. Gotta do something. But in actuality, Heron is calling. The obsession of the mind, the thought that outweighs any other thought that I have. Take one, Mike. You'll be all right this time. And being who I am from age 17, I become a believer of the lie that someday, somehow, it will be different. I'll have the power to control it. And I take that one, and the physical allergy kicks in, and I'm off to the races. I have no control over the amount I take. That's what makes me a real one, my friend. Spiritual malady, mental obsession, physical allergy. That's it. If those are true for you, I call it the club in the club. If those are true for you, all this is Mike D. shit, right? You're a mad dog. Because it means you've gone to any lengths to keep power, choice, and control, but you've lost it long before you knew you lost it. That's what makes you a real one. That's it.